Welcome to the Social Expedition. Fueling your digitally social experience. Produced by LunaWeb, this is show number 31, May 27, 2010. Well, this is it, the very last show of May 2010.
Can you believe it?
No, I can't. Because I was just kind of looking at the year and thinking that it's just still the very first part of the year. Like, we just got into 2010, and then I realized that next week is June, and I'm still not over it.
I always just get used to writing the correct year about December,
and then it's
the next year.
It took me a few decades. I finally broke that habit. I don't know what happened. Just something got under my skin one day, and I never did it again. I always got the year right after that. But as far as time flying by, you know, stuff these, you know, middle-ager type folks like me tell you, you know, young whippersnappers about, it just keeps going faster and faster and faster. You know, I never believed that, but man, it is so true. They were right.
You know, especially in our business and social media, a week can make all the difference between a technology and the end of that technology or technology. And
it can be born, be the biggest, hottest thing, and be dead in seems like a week. But that's not what's happening with Facebook. But before we get into that, let's talk about who we are. So I'm Dave Barger.
I'm Ansley Phones.
And we're with LunaWeb, who is we produced this show.
The Social Expedition.
Yeah. And so being number 31 here, we have a long list, probably a 31 things, and there's no way we're going to get through these things to talk about. And unfortunately, Facebook is kind of commanding center stage again. Just today, well, actually yesterday, they began to roll out their new privacy settings. And of course, Zuckerberg had plenty to say about that. And this is supposed to make it easier for everybody to get it. And I think that's only really half the problem that's been going on here. It's not so much the difficulty of it, but just kind of the way that they go about changing your privacy for you, and then you having to opt out of these things instead of letting you open up.
Absolutely, which is why we're still gung-ho about Facebook Free Friday on Friday, this Friday.
Yeah.
The 28th of May, because even though Facebook has announced that these things are rolling out, they still need to know that they made a big mistake and they can't do that again.
And they do it every time.
I know.
They do this and they come out and they go, oh, we're sorry. Gosh, we didn't know this was such a big deal for y'all. And then they, you know, put something together and expend some amount of effort and apologize and try and make it right after the fact. It's kind of like asking for forgiveness, you know, versus getting permission. They need to stop that. They need to get permission first because, you know, it's our information that they're messing with.
Well, and they're attracting the attention of Congress and lawmakers now, and they're actually going to Congress to brief the House and the Senate on the new Facebook privacy settings on Thursday.
Well, I hope they're happy with them. Like I said, you know, the settings, I think that the controls have been there. It's just their approach and how they go about doing this. And I think inevitably it's going to get to a point where you cannot help but have regulation. And so that, you know, this will be a regulated industry, this, you know, these big super social, global social networks.
Of course, that's the next step. I mean, now that these are so big, absolutely, they need legislation.
And it's not a U.S. thing. You know,
no.
we're pretty liberal, actually, compared to some other countries as far as privacy goes. So,
well, Pakistan will be lifting the ban that they recently put on Facebook and YouTube. But up until they lift that ban, those two websites have been forbidden.
Yeah.
In that country.
No getting to them with your mobile phone either. It's not like the corporate firewall.
Well, I don't know. I haven't been there and tried, but.
Your next assignment. Thanks. Yeah. Well, so let's talk about what's going on here.
If we want to stay on Facebook really quickly, there is a website called youropenbook.org.
Very interesting.
It is very interesting. You could waste some time on there. So wait till you get home from work.
It's research to develop a deeper understanding of our environment.
Well, I got to consider it research when I was on there for a little while today. But I actually I looked up vacation and Memphis. And in the very first page, I got four people. What it does is it shows status updates. I got four people, and it included their names, and it included their profile pictures, whose status updates were that they were leaving Memphis to go on vacation. Oh. And I got four on the very first page, which only included maybe 12 and ties right into that, you know, don't post where you're going or that you're leaving town because you will be a target for burglars. And, you know, these people probably think, you know, maybe they haven't sifted through their privacy settings, but they probably think that only their friends are seeing that. And it's just not the case.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of arguments on that. You know, it's like, oh, I shouldn't tweet that I'm at work today because that means I'm not at home and somebody can go rip me off. But we don't know who's at home. And if you go out of town, we don't know, you know, hey, you could be faced with the dog sitter.
Bum, bum, bum.
So you better watch it, you know, who are you going to go rob kind of thing.
A segment on NPR actually searched my new phone number through it and ended up calling some of the people whose numbers they found and, you know, saying, hi, is this so-and-so? And they'd be like, yes, how'd you get this number? Well, your openbook.org.
They searched for the phrase, my new phone number.
Oh,
I thought you were talking about NPR called you up about your new phone number.
Oh, no, no, no. But, you know, these people are just sharing information thinking that only their friends are seeing it. And more so than anything, just people need to go through their privacy settings because if they do take the time, Facebook should make it easier, but they haven't yet. These privacy settings are rolling out, but people need to go through and make sure they know what they're sharing.
Yeah. And the one other thing there, too, that's I always find is kind of new information for folks. Some people is when you go to post something on, you go to create an update on Facebook, you'll see a little drop down box next to the little share button. And when you click that, you can actually pick and choose either by individual friends or by lists, your friend lists on Facebook, who sees and also who does not see that particular post. So there's actually a lot of granular control over who can see different things on Facebook. It's
not so user friendly.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Moving on to Twitter.
Let's talk about Twitter.
New stats gathered by TubeMogul show Twitter as far and away the number one referrer of online videos. And they speculate that this is because more people are using Twitter to connect with interests. So, you know, on Facebook, you can, you know, fan, say, your favorite band and choose to see their updates. But a lot less people are doing that on Facebook than they are on Twitter. And so more people are connecting to their interests and videos through those interests than on Facebook.
Yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting little fact.
What about, you know, I think that's maybe in some ways people feel that they can put more noise out on Twitter because maybe more noise is acceptable than on Facebook.
I think so. But also, you know, I'm not a fan of any news sources on my Facebook account, but I'm a fan of many news sources on my Twitter account just because it seems a much better platform for getting news.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, whenever there's a video link to a news story, people are going to get to that more often through Twitter.
Mm-hmm. This would be a good place to break off and kind of go to that segment with our interview with Melissa Moon.
All right.
Our guest today is Melissa Moon, news reporter for WRAG News Channel 3. Welcome to the Social Expedition.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's been a kind of an early morning, and I saw that earlier today you were actually up and tweeting about the shuttle landing.
Yeah, I was tweeting about that and a story we were working on, a fatal shooting in DeSoto County, or in Olive Branch, rather. So we're tweeting about that early this morning.
Oh, bummer.
But yeah, tweeting early. Some people say that I wake them up with their tweets because I'm tweeting so early.
Yeah. So you're out there, you're finding some of this stuff out there online, and then you're sharing it, you're letting folks know what's going on. And I notice it's not always, you know, you're not always just sending folks back to, you know, WREG.
No, I mean, if I try to tweet stuff that we're working on that day, if something interesting, if I'm working on it, and sending pictures too if I can, which I find is a really nice aspect of Twitter. But if there's other stuff that I think is just interesting and I think people that are following me might want to know, I tweet it, national news, international news, just little bits of information I think is kind of fascinating. Then I think, well, maybe if I find it fascinating, someone else is going to find it interesting, so I tweet that as well. I don't know if it's Twitter or it's the iPhone or what, but I find that it gets almost addictive. You know, you're constantly on there trying to see. I'm a news junkie to begin with, so like Twitter is like for a news junkie. It's, you know, I follow like a number of news organizations, so I'm like on it 24/7. It seems like, and if I'm away from it a little bit, I'm thinking maybe I'm missing something, so I'm all constantly on it, looking at news and constantly retweeting stuff, and you know, I tell people I retweet and tweet a lot, so be ready for that. But I just find it just interesting, like I said, for a news junkie to be able to follow things and find things as they're happening, because it's happening so fast on on Twitter when you're following news organizations from different stations all across the country, even, you know, news organizations in other countries. And so you're kind of on top of everything as it happens. It's really that real time that you're following the information.
Wow. And you use an iPhone for...
I do use an iPhone, and I like its nice features because you can I can send pictures, and now I've gotten where I can also send some video. I can, if we're headed to a scene, I can get a picture of it and tweet a little something about what we're headed to. Once I get there, take pictures and video, and also let people know what's happening at the time, but also maybe promote a story that we're working on for the evening news, and just giving people a little snippet of the story that we've been working on all day.
So what would you say is kind of a fairly recent story, maybe sometime this year? Because somebody told me June starts next week already.
Yeah, we're already in June, but it feels like August, right?
Right. But, like, you know, so something that's happened this year, a story that where social media has been a really big part of helping you put it all together and get it out to folks.
Well, I think probably just the last week, the incident we had in West Memphis, it was huge, and information was coming so fast about what happened, and I was watching what other people, there's other stations that I follow, and if there's had something that we didn't have, and it was just constantly changing, and the press conferences were happening, and we were finding information out, and I was just getting out tons of stuff that day. And I think it's similar, I think of what, you know, nationally, like the day that Michael Jackson died, and Twitter was so inundated with people constantly tweeting stuff that it actually slowed down for a while. People had to go to Facebook because so many people were on Twitter, and
right.
And you know, you had because of Twitter, you had some of the non-conventional news organizations like TMZ and some of those gossip people who actually beat the cable news networks and then other news organizations tweeting the information that Michael Jackson had died, and it was probably half an hour before the cable news networks came out with it. Now, again, you got to be careful because some of those news organizations, you got to make sure they're valid news organizations and you're getting correct information, because sometimes there's a lot of gossip that goes around about Twitter.
Do you have an example of like some misinformation that got spread around supposedly as news when really it wasn't?
Well, I can think. I know there was people that were tweeting about certain. I think there was after Michael Jackson died, people were on that bandwagon and started tweeting about other celebrities dying, and it wasn't true. But you know,
right.
It was getting around for a while. But things like that, you got to be real careful about. People will believe it if they see it on Twitter now. They'll believe it until they check it out.
Well, I will always click the links.
Yes, to make sure it's a valid link.
Yeah.
Have you personally been sent any leads through Twitter?
I have had people tell me about something that's going on, or do you know what's going on at such and such? Can you check it out? And I mean, you know, usually we get news tips coming into the newsroom, so this is like an extra news tip line for us, because once in a while I do get tips from people wanting me to cover this or something that's going on, wanting us to check it out. So that's a very nice aspect of it, that, you know, we got people out there and more eyes and ears and watching around what's going on and letting us know what's going on. And also it can make, like, the average person can really be like a reporter out there, because they can see something that happens. They can even take a picture and put it on Twitter. So it's like if you go to, like, even some of the CBS News icons on the iPhone, they even say be one of our reporters, and they encourage people to send them in pictures.
Okay.
So the same thing is happening on Twitter. Anybody now can pretty much report the news, do a video,
okay,
do a picture, put it on Twitter.
Well, and you're very progressive with this, in that, you know, you've got a very open mindset with regard to your whole approach, it seems, to social. And that's great, because it's definitely about that, and it's not about the command and control. And how long have you been using social media?
Well, I started with Facebook because some family members were doing it at first. I'm like, no, I don't want to put all that personal information out there. I don't have any desire to do it. But I saw, well, they were connecting with friends and relatives that I didn't get to see a lot. So I started out with Facebook, and then someone mentioned Twitter. Oh, I use my Twitter account more than Facebook. I didn't really know much about Twitter. All I knew was, you know, you hear celebrities talking about it. So-and-so said on their Twitter page, so I didn't really know a lot about what Twitter was about. So I signed up for an account, probably didn't use it for a month. And then I think the first thing I ever did was I did a story on a cool eco-friendly house downtown Memphis, which is a really cool house, and I tweeted about that. And so, and I thought, well, what am I going to talk about on Twitter? I was thinking about personal stuff. Mm-hmm. And then little by little, I realized, you know, stuff was happening, and this was a great avenue to talk about news and stories that I was working on. And then I realized that there were a lot of news organizations out there, a lot of reporters. In fact, since then, I've connected with a lot of reporters at different stations. We'll follow each other, and I'll get information not just from, like, the national news, what's happening in South Carolina or Texas or Atlanta, but from some of these local stations. Sometimes they'll have the information before the national media was. So I follow a lot of these local stations as well. But it's probably been about a year, maybe less than a year, that I've been actively involved in Twitter.
That's great.
And since then, in our newsroom, little by little, we probably got, I don't know, maybe 6-7 reporters. One of our main anchors is tweeting as well. Mm-hmm. The watchdog, Mike Matthews, who's the last person because he's he kind of stays away from technology and the internet, but he is really into Twitter, and now he's tweeting about.
He cuts up a lot.
He cuts up a lot. Yeah. You got to appreciate his sense of humor, because it's not always about the news. But I thought it was funny that even Mike Matthews is into Twitter, and I think that everybody in the newsroom is, little by little, I see people tweeting more and more. I think that they're realizing the value and what it can do to enhance our news product, what we're doing already.
And that's, I guess, changing all the time. It's changed so much in the last, you know, I don't know, maybe 3 years probably.
I didn't realize there was even an article this week in USA Today that I didn't realize that a year ago there were only 21 million people on Twitter, and today there are 114 million people tweeting about 6 million tweets a day. And so it's just growing and growing and growing.
And you read half of those?
It seems like that. It seems like that. But you know, it's a great time killer too. If you're waiting to do your live shots, and you can get on there and see what's going on, and you know, go to bed and see what you missed overnight, and I'll go back as far as like midnight and see what I might have missed overnight, and and retweet some of that stuff if it's interesting.
Now, on the desktop, or do you go to twitter.com, or do you have a favorite client that you use? Like,
I usually go to twitter.com.
Great.
But
me
most
too.
Of, do you most most of the time I use my iPhone, but just because you can get the pictures, and I like the retweeting features on some of the applications on the iPhone versus twitter.com's retweeting feature. But I, you know, when I'm at home, sometimes I'll go online, or if I'm at work, because I can type faster on the computer than I can on my cell phone. But the cell phone just makes it very convenient. You can do it anywhere. So it's very interesting. So, I think the way it's changing news coverage is very, very, very interesting.
So if somebody runs into a news story and they want to get it to you, do they DM you? Do you follow back a lot of people on Twitter, or should they just tweet it out and CC you in the tweet? You know, your handle, or
they could probably either do it to me. I guess I follow about 200 some people. And a lot of, like I said, there are a lot of news organizations or reporters from other stations, but I follow some other people too. But if they either send me a message, send me, you know, to @MelissaMoon, if there's something that's going on, or they want covered, or they see something happening, they can send us a picture. We can sometimes even send those right to our web people to use on the air.
Okay. And we'll put a link directly to your Twitter account in the on the show notes. But just for clarification, that's MelissaMoon3.
MelissaMoon3, yeah.
And I noticed there's more threes. Were you one of the first threes out there?
I think it was Todd on Three, or Weather Guy was the first three.
Okay.
And there was already a Melissa Moon taken, so I thought, well, I can promote our station as well. So that's kind of nice. Yeah, we have the Watchdog on Three, and I think Richard Ransom Three, and Tom Powell is pretty active on it as well.
Great. Yeah. The I use the twitter.com, the web version, and I've got a special list set up for Memphis media, and so I can just click that and just see all the media folks, and you're on there, and when I'm in a newsy mood.
The only thing we find is I gotta be careful sometimes. I usually wait, if it's a big story or we don't know what it is, if we're headed to a scene, I'll wait until we get there and I see that there are other news organizations there before I start really tweeting about it, because you don't want to give your hand and let other stations know what you're working on. So that's the only thing you got to be careful about. You know, you want to beat the other, the competition, have the exclusives, get the story. So sometimes I'll have to wait, and you want to jump the gun, but yeah.
Okay. So just like, you know, manufacturers and whatnot, they've got new products coming out, and they've got to keep the lid on that. You guys have stories coming out, and what's the lead time? Usually, is it like maybe 4 hours, or like in between broadcasts?
Probably right before the broadcast, if we knew something that was something nobody else had, you know, if like there was like, say we were going to some kind of crime scene, for instance, one time and there was nobody there, so I didn't tweet about it, but we were there, the crime scene was cleared, police had left, so at that point I was safe to tweet about it and say what we were working on. So because by the time competition got there, they wouldn't have anything to shoot. So, but as far as interviews, I mean, we do promotions, we do promote things, so if I know that our promotions people are already starting to promote something, then I'll know it's okay to tweet if like we have an exclusive interview, or you know that it might be impossible for them to play catch up and get that interview in time for the 6 o'clock news if we already have it.
Are y'all doing anything with location based social media like Foursquare?
You know, I don't know anything about Foursquare. I've had enough now. I've already got Facebook and Twitter, but and I don't know. I think I've heard some people I know that are doing Foursquare already. It's just changing all the time, isn't it?
Well, you know, who knows? Given Facebook, you won't have to go to Foursquare. Facebook will start incorporating those types of features inside of the platform, and you'll be able to check in at places with your iPhone through Facebook.
And as you know, Facebook, once in a while I'll put stories on there, but usually it's after the fact, way after the fact. And I guess I kind of still view Facebook as a great place to socialize and talk to people and keep up with people. That you kind of a window in the world to friends and people that you don't ever get to see or haven't seen in a long time. But I find that Twitter really is becoming more like, more than a social network, it's more like an information source, really, for people.
So you're a very public, you know, your profession has you out there, and you know, you're famous. So on Facebook, do you have your own Facebook page that you use for your work entity, and then a different profile for family and that kind of thing, and your friends?
Well, I have one for me right now, and I pretty much stay to family, friends, some of the people that if I know or meet or know that I've met them before, maybe some other people know. I accept them just because I want to be able to recognize names, wanted to see what's going on. I don't have like a TV one yet or anything like that, but we do have, our station does have a Facebook page, and they're really pushing the Facebook page right now, a lot right now. And if you go to News Channel 3's Twitter page, you can also see on the side, they'll have the links to all the reporters who are on Twitter as well, if you want to follow any reporter, or maybe everybody, to know what's going on. So it's a great way, I mean, like I said, to know at any time what's going on, any place, and I think it's great. I wish more people at our station were more involved in it and aggressive about it, because it is a great, great tool to promote. You know, sometimes it can maybe even do more than a promo could do on TV, just tweeting it out to your followers and, you know, getting it retweeted by people.
And I think probably someday, you know, because the advertisers are what, you know, keeps the news industry, afloat, I think. And I think it's at some point we're going to see more integration or some test integration with, you know, getting your sponsors out there along with that tweet that, you know, something's got to happen there.
And I think Twitter's probably, you know, with all the backlash that Facebook has been getting recently with the privacy issues and 60% saying that they want to leave. I don't know if that'll actually happen. I think maybe it's more talk than anything. But I think more people might be turning to Twitter to vent their anger and maybe to rebel against Facebook.
It's amazing. Yeah. Using the Twitter feature, the search, and to search for Facebook, and to see how many tweets there are about Facebook on there right now in all kinds of languages also. That's just great. Yeah. Well, tell us how you want people to connect with you. Is it on Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter. I mean, they can send me a message on Facebook, but I'm on Twitter a lot more than I am Facebook. So, yeah, if anybody has anything, they want to talk about, any story idea, they see news happening, definitely, for sure, let me know about it. And, you know, if you're out and you see something happen, let me know about it, because I'm on it usually all the time. So I will, if I'm not at work, I'll let the station know what's going on.
Well, Melissa, hey, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate you coming on over here, dodging the storm clouds out there.
Yes, no rain yet, thank goodness.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Well, I just think it's fascinating how they're using social media in the news these days. I think it's really revolutionizing the industry.
I like the fact that they're sharing with each other, that they're retweeting each other, and they're not just pumping their own news. I really like that a lot. That just kind of shows a sense of community among people like Melissa. So it was great to have her here. I'm running into a lot more people that are syncing up their tweets. So they send out a tweet, and boom, boom, it goes to Twitter, it goes to Facebook, it goes to LinkedIn, and who knows where else. And I'm not a real big fan of that.
Me neither.
Because I wind up finding myself reading, because I actually go to Twitter, and then I go to Facebook, and I'll go to LinkedIn, and I'll read the same thing I just read a minute ago. It's like, now you're messing with my time. You know what I mean? And it's the same exact thing. It's copy-paste, verbatim. There's no extra information there. Oh, I get mixed feelings on that.
I definitely think that each of these platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, has content that it is appropriate for that platform and content that maybe isn't so appropriate for that platform, but also the frequency of content. You know, I think it's much more acceptable to tweet 5, 6, 7, 12, 20 times a day, at least once every hour.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're doing that on Facebook, people are probably going to start hiding your updates because you're going to be drowning out their other friends. And I feel like it's just more acceptable on Twitter.
Yeah.
Just the social standards. And of course on LinkedIn, you know, if you are sending tweets to LinkedIn that's like, man, had all these drinks last night, that's just a bad idea.
Yeah. You know, and also the frequency of updates on LinkedIn also, because certainly all this information is not, for every tweet that you have, you do not need to make a LinkedIn update. No. In fact, Chris Brogan blogged about this like day before yesterday, that some people were polluting the LinkedIn stream with all of their tweets. And he was kind of, you know, I think he was suggesting to quit it. I didn't actually go read the blog post. All I saw was the tweet, and that's enough sometimes. You made note on here of a new feature that LinkedIn has, kind of a segue here.
Yes, LinkedIn has become more closely integrated with Twitter. You can now tweet and create lists from the LinkedIn website, so you don't even have to sync them up.
Yeah.
Externally, if you, you know, log in through to your Twitter account through LinkedIn, then you can do Twitter features right from LinkedIn. And you can also see which of your LinkedIn connections are on Twitter that you're not following yet. So that's an interesting feature as well, but still not to be abused.
Yeah, I like the feature. I hope it evolves a little bit more as we, you know, as I say in like a lot of presentations and talking to folks about that the first people that they need to follow are their clients.
Mm-hmm.
And inside of LinkedIn, if you use the if you do the pay version, just the first pay version, then what you can do is you can set up these groups. Just like what you do on Facebook, you can set up a friend list, and on Twitter you can set up a list. Well, on LinkedIn you can do the same thing. So it would be nice if those lists that you have in LinkedIn or Twitter could talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So that I could go to LinkedIn and just have one nice view of my clients only, and because they're the ones putting the bread and butter on the table. You know, I need to be paying attention to them, you know, and then if I have extra time, well, then sure, I can go look at everybody else. But I definitely want to be making sure that I'm paying attention to these folks. So that feature is not there yet, but it's nice to see that they're on their way. And as these platforms evolve, what is acceptable as far as the frequency and the number of...
And the content.
The content... That changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's acceptable. So anyhow.
Well, we've got a couple more minutes, and
okay.
I found a really interesting quick little point. Hurricane season starting up in June, and
yeah.
I just thought it was so interesting that government agencies and relief agencies in Florida are already setting up ways to not only alert people about possible storm systems through Facebook and Twitter, but are already setting up the system so that they can alert people of open convenience stores, of places they can get help for after any destruction that might occur. And I thought that was a really neat idea. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
We're here in the middle of Tornado Alley. Might be a good thing for agencies here to set up.
Yeah. Are we in Tornado Alley?
We are in Tornado Alley. Memphis doesn't see it a lot, but, you know, we just had all those horrible storms.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
That devastation.
There's some, like, freaky. I think, like, I view it as this, like, a four-way stop, this intersection. It seems like a number of different fronts, and that's what makes it so hard to predict the weather
mm-hmm.
where we're at right now.
But usually Memphis, because of the bluff, doesn't see the worst of it, of tornadoes. But, you know, the horrible rain.
Our neighbors do.
Yeah.
On all sides of us, to the east, the west, north, and south. We just, yeah, it's very unusual how it snows south of here sometimes. You know, one other point that I do want to throw in here, I think it's important, and that is if you do manage a Facebook page, you did not know how many people had hidden your update previously.
Right.
And they just kind of snuck this one out there. So if you run a Facebook page, go to the Insights panel that shows you all your statistics, scroll down, look to the bottom left. And on that default graph, you'll see actually two lines there. One is the number of fans that you have, and then one will be the number of people who have hidden your page's updates in their stream. Of course, it's a very low number compared to your fans, hopefully. Let's hope. So if they're the same, You might as well just back it up and go home. But what you can do is you can uncheck the number of fans line, that graph, so that you can see how many people have unfollowed you. So some people don't know that they're out there being irritating to their to their fans, to their likers. And so this is a nice feature to help people out. It's like, it's good. It's good feedback.
All right. Well, tomorrow is Facebook Free Friday. It is the 28th, and the goal, don't use your Facebook. Try not to use it all weekend. Let's make a dent in their traffic, and let's tell them that we aren't happy with the way they're treating us. And then we've got the Social Expedition Breakfast Wednesday. That is June 2nd at 7:30. We've got guest speaker Melissa Moon from WREG, who was featured in our interview today. And she's going to be talking about social media and its effects on news coverage. And that's going to be this Wednesday. And you can RSVP at meetup.com/social expedition. And we would love to have you.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskall, available online at ericmaskall.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.